Okay, we're on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, 38A, second line from the top. We left off with a question. Remember, there's a machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yishmael, with other rabbis. When the Torah says, when you come into the land, it says, b'chol moshvo sechem, when you have in your land of inheritance. So the machlokes they have is the mitzvah of chadash applicable immediately and at all times, or is the mitzvah of chadash only applicable in the land of Israel and only after the land was conquered? So Gemara asked the question on Rabbi Eliezer, asking on the opinion that holds that chadash rather is only in Eretz Yisrael and only after the land was conquered. A question on Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Shmuel, that chadash only applied after the land was conquered. So the question then becomes, when the Jewish people entered the land of Israel, the Torah says that they ate from the new crops after the day after Pesach, on the second day of Pesach. The Torah says they ate from the new crops the day after Pesach. Now, why does the Torah have to tell us this? Gemara is asking a question, assuming, well, because they couldn't eat it before because it was prohibited. Now, that all makes sense if you say that the mitzvah was operative, like Rabbi Eliezer, at all times, in all places. So, when it says Moshe Vasechem, it means at all times, in all places. So, it's prohibited when they came into the land. They came into the land on the 10th day of Nisan, 5 days before Pesach. And more than that, if it's prohibited everywhere, right? So if it's prohibited at all times and anywhere, like Reb Eliezer, then it makes sense why it said you couldn't eat it until the day after Pesach. Then it makes sense. But if you hold like Rabbi Shmuel that it only applied after they conquered the land 14 years later, why did the Torah have to say that they ate from the new grain only after Pesach? That was the question that we were left with yesterday. So the answer was that no, even according to Reb Yishmael, that indeed, that they could eat it right away, still there was a reason why the Torah had to tell us this. Lo, have it, shricha. So, more answers. The truth of the matter is, they could eat it right away. But there's another reason why they didn't eat it until after Pesach. Dichsiv, because look at what the Torah writes. Writes Ubnei Yisrael Achlu Asamon Arba'im Shana Adbom El Eretz Noshevus. It says the Jewish people ate the man for 40 years until they came to inhabited land. Okay, now that's one pasuk. Okay, that's one pasuk. Now, so what does that mean? How long they ate the man till they came into an inhabited land? Right. Now let's look at another pasuk. Another pasuk says, "Es Hamon Achlu Adbom El Kitzei Eretz Kenan." They ate the man until they're coming to the border of the land of Canaan. Okay, so now there seems to be an apparent contradiction in the two verses. One says they ate it until Eretz Noshevus, until inherited land. One until the border of Eretz Canaan. So we have to see exactly what this means. Look at the notes over here. Inhabited land refers to Eretz Yisrael proper, which is to the west of the Jordan River. The first clause, when it says Eretz Noshevus, the inhabited land, that refers to the west bank. It does not refer to Transjordan, which was the first populated land the Jews entered after their sojourn wilderness. Rather, more superior land of Eretz Yisrael proper is called inhabited land, in contrast to which the relatively inferior Transjordan is inhabited as if it were uninhabited. The border of the land of Canaan, the second clause, refers to the eastern bank of the Jordan River, the plains of Moab, the location of Jews just before they crossed into Eretz Yisrael proper. Okay, so therefore, we have two verses. One says they ate the man until they got to the west bank. One says they ate the man till the east bank. That's going to be a contradiction. How long did they eat the man till? So, Gemara analyzes this. Yev Shalomer Ad Bom Al Eretz Noshavas. You can't say that they ate man until they came into the inhabited land, until the West Bank, because Shekvar Nemar already says El Kitzei Eretz Canaan. Already says when they came to the border of the land of Canaan, meaning the East Bank. So you can't say it means the West Bank because it's the East Bank. You can't say it means the East Bank of the border of Eretz Canaan. Shekvar Nemar Ad Bom Al Eretz Noshavas, because that's until they come into an inhabited land, which means the West Bank. So what's going on? That's the problem. They said that they ate until then. Now, which time was it? Right? Look at the notes. Thus, the first part of the verse indicates that they ceased eating the manna only after they entered Eretz Yisrael proper. Whereas the second part of the verse indicates the manna ceased when they reached the eastern bank of the Jordan River before they crossed over into the land of Israel. So what was it? When did the manna stop? That's the problem. You see the problem? When did they stayed on the east bank for a while till they crossed to the west bank. So when did the man actually stop? So we have a textual problem that has to be dealt with. So look at the answer. Okay, he said, how do we deal with this? We have to say the following. B'shiva ba'adar meis, Moshe. Moshe died on the 7th of Adar, which is coming up this Sunday. And what happened at that same time? Uposak mon meliyared. And the man stopped falling. Okay. So the and now where were they when Moshe died? On the west or the east side of the Jordan? East. So when did the man stop falling? When they were on the east side of the Jordan. However, there was still man in their utensils. Now, although normally during the last 40 years, whatever was left over turned into worms, but this is the one time there was an exception. And what is that? Vahoyu mistaprin miman shebekleihem at shisha asor benisan. And the Jews had enough manna that was left over in their vessels until the 16th day of Nisan. It lasted over a month. 5 weeks. There was...
How can we say that there was extra left over?
What do you mean, how could you say that? When God wants to make a... First of all, the psukim...
I give you double on Friday.
Yeah, but then Moshe died, so then the rules change. The man came...
Where does it say we got...
The text just told you. They ate man until as long as they were on the east side of the Jordan, then it said they ate man until they were on the west side of the Jordan. So now how do you make that? God is telling you there's something going on over here. You know, those verses contradict themselves for a reason. So it's saying, yes, the man stopped falling on the east side of the Jordan, but they kept eating the man even up to the west side of the Jordan River. Okay, that's the point. Thus, the second part of the verse, which indicates that they ate the manna only until they reached the border of Eretz Yisrael, refers to the manna's descent, which ceased at that point upon the death of Moshe. However, their existing supply of manna lasted another 39 days until the 16th of Nisan, when they're already in Eretz Yisrael proper, and this is what is referred to in the first part of the verse. Thus, the Gemara has answered that according to Rabbi Shmuel, because remember, this is a question on him, the one who says that dwelling denotes after possession and settlement, the Jews were ready to eat the grain of the land before the 16th of Nisan. According to him, they could eat, that was the question. But did not do so since the remaining manna was sufficient for their needs. Apparently, though, we must say, according to this view, the Jews did indeed eat a minimal amount of grain on the previous night to fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah on the first night of Pesach, right? You can't be yotzei the mitzvah of, remember, there was, don't forget now, when the Jews, after they got the Torah, the very first year, they had a Seder, that Pesach, the first year in the desert. Then it stopped for the next 38 years. They did not celebrate Pesach for all kinds of reasons that we're not going to get into. They didn't celebrate it. Now when they come to the land of Israel, they came in, they crossed around the 10th of Nisan. Now God's going to, you're going to celebrate Pesach again. Just keep that in mind. So obviously you cannot eat matzah made out of mun. So they obviously had to have some grain. They had to pick up some grain because matzah has to be from one of the five grains. However, the rest of the night and the following day, they continued to subsist on the manna until their supply was depleted. The verse which counts the sixth day of Nisan as the start of their eating from the land's produce refers to when they began to eat the produce of an uninterrupted basis. That's the issue. You see what's going on over here? We asked the question of Rishma, why does it have to say they had to wait till the 16th to eat from the crops of the land? They could eat it right away. There's no problem of Chadash, according to him, because it doesn't apply till after 14 years. The answer is, well, they didn't. It tells us that they ate from the new crops, because that's when the manna ceased from their utensils. That's what the Torah is teaching us. The miracle that it lasted for 39 days in their utensils after Moshe had died. However, even if you say that, you have to admit, and remember, there's no problem according to him, they had to take a little bit of grain to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, because that you couldn't make it out of month. So, but when the Torah says from the 16th they ate from the new crop, it means on a regular basis. On a regular basis, they ate the crops, the new crops from the 16th on. And there's no problem. It wasn't just because Chadash was now permitted. No, it was permitted even before they came. But now they began to eat the Chiddushes, they ate mun on an uninterrupted basis. Now the Gemara doesn't discuss this, but knows also what's going to be now Kohen Rebbe Eliezer. Kohen Rebbe Eliezer, when did the prohibition start?
When they crossed,
right? So you say, okay, they couldn't eat any of the new grains until the second day of Pesach, that's fine. But the question is, so how did they eat matzahs according to him? It's a problem of Chadash. So look at the next line. According to Rabbi Eliezer, who maintains the Chadash prohibition by immediately, however, they could not fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah on the previous night because of the Chadash prohibition, which applies. So see Tosfos, saying Rishalmi. So you'd have to learn Tosfos and see exactly how he gets out of that issue from that. Unless you're going to have to say they bought from Goyim. You have to say somehow they bought it from the Goyim, or maybe they... otherwise, it's a problem. So we have to look in Tosfos to see how they resolve that.
Just another question going back to those two statements. It says they stopped.
Let's go back. Let's go back. What does the Pasuk say?
It says they ate. It didn't say the man stopped. It said they ate.
Let's go back. Let's go back. It says, "Ubnei Yisrael achlu es haman arba'im shana." They ate the man 40 years. Ad bom al eretz v'shevas, until they came to inhabited land. Now, according to our saying, that's right. They ate mun until they crossed the West Bank, because there's mun in their utensils that they ate. Okay. Now, es hamun achu, the mun they ate, meaning to say, like on a daily basis from fresh mun. Yes, I have to learn it. Ad bom al eretz kana, until they came to the East Bank. So they ate. In other words, you're right. It says they ate both times, but obviously, let's put it this way: you cannot learn the two psukim literally because they self contradict. You agree to that?
I agree to that.
So that means we have to put in some kind of interpretation. So you have to learn like this: the Jews ate mun, any kind of mun, until they came to the West Bank, any kind of mun, but the mun they ate that came fresh every day, that was only until it came to the edge of the East Bank. That's the only... Whatever interpretation you want to say, Shelley, give me a better one.
I got to think about it.
Okay, good. So you think about it.
But we're changing the meaning.
No, you're saying it's different kinds of mun. Fresh mun and old mun. They ate mun for 40 years. That's any kind of mun. Any kind of mun. They ate for 40 years. And talk until the very last day, that the 39th day after they took it out of the utensil, that is the first pasuk. Second one says, and mun they ate, daily muns they ate, fresh. You know, that's the only way you can interpret the pasuk. That's how you have to interpret the pasuk. Otherwise, it's a contradiction. Okay, if you have a better interpretation. You know, that's how the rabbis understood it. And you'll see there's other midrashim, as we'll see, coming up in a braisa, so that's going to say the same thing.
So we don't know how Rabbi Eliezer gets out of him.
Well, Rabbi Eliezer had no problem. He was saying it was usher anyway.
From matzah.
I'd have to look in Tosfos. I didn't look in Tosfos. Well, there are ways you could buy from goyim. If a goy sells you,
spoils of war. They were already conquering the land.
You have to, there's always ways to get out of it. I don't have to see the Tosfos.
Wait a second, if you buy it,
see this long Tosfos on the side here? See this big Tosfos on the left hand side?
It's not comments. I'm sure it's comments, but it's not the same as comments, selling your comments. If that grain was grown in Eretz Israel eaten by a non Jew, Chadash doesn't apply?
Could be not. Okay, anyway, I don't know. We'll have to look into see how he gets out of that issue. How he gets out of that issue. All right, anyway, but, you know, he can't argue. This is a Bryce. And now he's going to bring another Bryce. He's going to say the same idea now. Oop-a. Tanya Idach. Now, there's a Bryce concerning the manna. Okay, a different Bryce learned the following. U'b'nei Yisrael, same idea. U'b'nei Yisrael achas aman arbaim shana. It says the Jewish people ate the man for 40 years. Okay? And, right. Now the question is, v'chi arboim shana ochlu, did they indeed eat it for 40 years? That's the price asked going from a different angle. Did they really eat it for 40 years? It's not 40 years. V'alo ochlu shana, v'alo arboim shana chaser shloshim yom ochlu. They ate it for 40 years minus a month. Wasn't complete 40 years. Why? Because look what it says. It says the manna ceased on Nisan 16. The manna ceased. There was no more manna on the 16th of Nisan. 40 years after the Exodus, which occurred on Nisan 15th of the first year. Okay, we got out of, on the 15th of Nisan. 40 years later is the 6th of Nisan. They're in Eretz Yisrael. Now, look what it says now. It says in Shmos that 1 month after the Exodus, the Jews came to the wilderness of Sin, and the manna began descending on the morrow. So when did the manna actually begin to fall? A month after they left Egypt. They didn't have manna right away. They left Egypt. They didn't have manna the first day. The Torah says they came to the desert of Sin, which was on the 15th of the year, and the man began falling the next day. So the first month after Exodus, they didn't eat man, but they ate the cakes of matzah that they brought with them from Egypt. So the Gemara is asking, it's not 40 days, 40 years, it's 40 years minus a month. So how could the Torah say they had it for 40 years? So I know where the Gemara doesn't answer. Listen, we have a rule, Ruba Kakula, the majority's like a whole. Like we have a lot of, you know, a lot of dochim we could have answered. You know, 39 years and 11 months, what would you call? I'd call it 40 years. But anyway, Gemara wants to be specific. So look at this answer. Look at this answer. Elalom alach. But why is, what's the Torah teaching you? Ugos shehotzio mimitzrayim. The cakes that they took out of Egypt. Tam ubahem, tam mon. They had the taste of mon even in the first month. It's a big chiddush. It's another, the cake, the matzah that they brought with them the first month out of Egypt tasted like the mon. So that's what it means that they ate mon for 40 years.
Don't we learn that the mon tasted whatever you wanted?
So I guess this was a miracle in this.
It had,
no, so now the matzah, no, the matzah had the taste of mon. So whatever you wanted to. That's the idea. So the matzah tasted like the taste of mon. Now, of course, I'm sure there's a lot of Hasidic interpretation over here, because tam doesn't only mean taste, it means reason.
Mon is a variable taste.
So it had a so you could say it had a variable taste, but obviously the most important taste of the mon was a taste of knowing that Hashem is providing you with your needs every second of your life. That's the deeper interpretation of the taste of the mon, right? So obviously they felt that with that. So in other words, it was a similar taste. Okay. Now, one last brisa. So this is, so it comes out that that's how you get the 40 full years. And therefore that obviously they had to, now that this brisa assumes, what's the brisa assuming in the whole question and answer? That how long did they eat man till?
After they crossed.
Till the 16th of Nisan after they crossed the Jordan River. And we know that Moshe died on the 7th. So we have to say the man was in their utensils for 39 days. We've got to say that. So it comes out, the 40 years consisted of actually 39 years, 10 months. No, 39 years, 9 months and 3 weeks of actual daily mun falling. The first month before, the matzah tasted like mun, and the next last 39 days was leftover mun. Just you want to be precise over here. Okay, now we come to what's relevant for next Sunday. Tanya Irach, we learned in another brisa about the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. B'shiva ba'adar meis Moshe. Moshe died on the 7th of Adar. U'b'shiva ba'adar nolad. And on the 7th day of Adar, he was born as well. Now, that's a brisa, period. Gemara wants to analyze, how does the brisa know that? We're not arguing, we just want to know, how did the brisa come to that conclusion? So, minayin she'b'shiva sormeis. How do we know, first of all, the b'shiva, how do we know he died on the 7th of Adar? That's the first thing we have to figure out. Doesn't say in the Torah. Look in the Torah, it just says, Moshe, go up to the mountain, you're going to die. No dates were said. How are we going to know?
Is this part of the Chadash, or is this like a sign?
That's nothing to a Chadash. We had to get on to the fact that Moshe died and the mun was this. So once we talk about mun and Moshe, this, let's take care of everything over here. And since it is Ador, Hashem destined that we should be learning this, Mamish, 5 days before Moshe Rabbeinu's Yortzeit. So at least next Sunday, you'll appreciate this a little bit more. So how do we know? Shinemar, we start with pasuk number 1. It says in the book of Dvarim, at the end of the Torah, it says, Vayomas Shom Moshe Eved Hashem. Moshe died there, the servant of Hashem. Now where is this? The Torah says in the plains of Moab. Okay, in the east bank, it says Moshe dies on the east bank. Okay, fine, that's okay. That's fact number 1. Now, Uksiv, it says another thing. There as well in the Torah, the Jews cried for Moshe 30 days in the plains of Moab. So whenever his death was, there was 30 days of mourning after the death. Okay, now, we got to now go to the book of Yeshua now. Uksiv, and now the first verse in the book of Yeshua says, was after Moshe the servant of Hashem died. That's how the book of Yeshua starts. Uksiv. And then it says in verse 2, Moshe Avdi Meis, Moshe my servant died, Va'ata Kum Avor. Now you go get up and cross the Jordan River with the Jewish people. So what do we have? So far, Moshe died. The Jews mourned for him for 30 days. Obviously, when the book of Yeshua starts and it says Hashem spoke to Yeshua after Moshe died and tell him that the cross, it couldn't be within those 30 days. Because they're not going to cross if they're mourning for 30 days. So it's 30 days finished. So when the Torah of Dvarim finished, it finished 30 days after the death of Moshe. Finished. Now we go to the book of Yeshua. It begins after the 30 days after his death. And Hashem says, okay, now take the Jews and cross the Jordan River. Okay, now what else do we need to know? Uksiv, it says, Ivru b'kerev machana, pass through the midst of the camp. And what do you do? This all in that day, on the 30th day. V'tzavu es ha'am, lay more, and command the people to say, Hechinu lachem tzeda, prepare provisions for you. Again, I don't know why they have to prepare provisions. All it is the manna that's in their utensils. But be that as it may, prepare your provisions. Why? Ki ba'ot shloshes yamim, because in another 3 days, tavru es ha'yarda, you're going to cross the Jordan River. So we got now the death of Moshe, 30 days elapses, God tells Yeshua in 3 days you're going to cross the Jordan River. So they're going to cross the Jordan River 33 days after Moshe's death. Okay, what else do we know? We still need another piece to the puzzle. Now what does the Navi write on the day that they crossed the Jordan River? What does the Navi write? Uksiv, it's right, Ve'ha'am olu min ha'yarden, and the Jewish people came up from the Jordan River. Now we have a date. But Asor Lachodesh on the first day of the month, which is Nisan, year, which is Nisan, the tenth day of the month, Lachodesh Rishon, the first month, which is Nisan. It says they crossed the Jordan on the 10th of Nisan. Now how many days after the death of Moshe was that? Well, let's calculate. Say, man, let's take out from the Shloshim or Shloshim, let's go back 33 days. The 30 days of the morning, plus the 3 days of preparing to cross. So what do we come out? Halamadata, we learn, Shebeshiva ba'ador meis Moshe. So we see from this that Moshe died on the 7th of Ador. Now the notes make an assumption, which is reliable. It's assumed that God spoke to Yeshua, instructed him to command the Jews to prepare the entry to Israel after the 30-day mourning period was complete. since the divine presence does not rest upon a person who's in a state of sadness. As a rule, a Navi doesn't get Nevuah when he's sad. If they're crying for Moshe, he's not getting the Nevuah. So Adar 7 is 33 days before Nisan 10. Okay? And that's how we get the 33 days. Okay, so now we've clearly proved what? That he died on the 7th of Adar. That's for sure. But the Brisa said he died and was born on the 7th day of Adar. So how do we know he was born on the 7th day of Adar? I mean, dying Shibeshiva ba'Adar Nolad Moshe. How do you know he was born on the 7th of Adar? Answer is Shenemar, because Moshe, it says like this, Vayomer Aleihem. Moshe said to the Jews on the last day of his life, Ben Me'ah Ve'ashim Shana Noche Ayom, I am 120 years today. It means it's my birthday, no? Or I'm 120 today. Lo uchal od lo tseis v'lavo. I'm not able to go back and forth. Right? This is just before he died. The day he died, he said these words. I'm 120, I can't go back and forth. Now, here's the question. What does it mean, hayom, today? What does it mean, I'm 120 today? She'ein talmud lo rayom. The verse apparently did not have to say today. Just say I'm 120. Say I'm 120. Why did it say today? Ma Tamalur Yom, what is the Torah teaching you by saying today? Teaching you a famous rule. Malame to teach us. Shakarish Baruch Yoshev, Umamale Shnosem Shal Tzadiki Miyom Liyom, Umichodesh Lachodesh. That Hashem sits and completes the years of the Tzadikim from day to day and from month to month. In other words, God lets a Tzadik live out his years to be complete till the very end. The guy is supposed to live 120 years. I make it till 120, till the month, till the day, exactly to the birthday. How do we know this? Shenemar, it says, Es mispar yamim amale. It says, the number of your days, I will complete. Which means, look at the notes, that is, God allows the righteous to live out completely their allotted number of years. This concept was also indicated in Moshe's declaration on the day of his death that he was 100 years old today, that he completed to the day the years allowed it to him. So from here we see that tzaddikim, you know, I'm not going to say if you don't die on your birthday, you're not a tzaddik, but obviously one of the things that Hashem does for tzaddikim, he caused them to live out their lives completely to the day. So once we prove that Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th of Adar, then it has, and Moshe himself says, today I'm 120 today, which means as a tzaddik, he lived a complete 120, and therefore is born on the 7th of Adar as well. And of course, we know the famous Medrash on this, that when Haman was trying to pick the time to destroy the Jews, he wanted to find a month that would give him good mazel. So for him, the only day he could find there wasn't something good for the Jews was in Adar, because that's when Moshe died. That's when Moshe died. So therefore, that's a good month, because that's when Moshe died. But the Medrash says, but he did not realize it's also the time when he was born. And since it was the time when he was born, then he didn't know that, and therefore it becomes a good month. So the Mephorshim ask a simple question. Listen, if Haman was so smart to know the day he died, now figure, how did Haman know the day he died? He must have known this information the Gemara knew. How could he know he died on the 7th? Right? I mean, how would a non-Jew know? Go to a non-Jew, say, when did Moses die? So, you know, you got to be a little shtickl scholar, no? I mean, you got to be a shtickl scholar to know it's the 7th. Right? Well, if you're that scholarly already, you don't think he knew the day he was born? So the Mephorshim give the following answer. Yes, of course Moshe died on that day. And he felt like this. Now that Moshe died, so overt miracles for the Jewish people also stop. And he says, if I want to destroy the Jews, the only way to get saved is through overt miracles. So now this is the month that Moshe died. That means there ain't going to be no overt miracles on this month. So therefore, it's a good month. He was born here. Says, born doesn't matter, as far as I'm concerned, because once he's dead, there's no more overt miracles. So why did he get defeated? What was about the birth? The answer is, there was something about the birth of Moshe that he should have realized. And what was that? That Moshe's birth was also miraculous, but it wasn't revealed miracles, it was hidden miracles. In other words, should Moshe Rabbeinu ever have lived? Should he have ever lived, Moshe Rabbeinu? No, because every Jewish boy got thrown into the sea of reeds. More than that, how old was his mother when she was born? She was very old. She was over 100. Right? And the whole way Moshe was born, he was born a couple months early, so he got to be at home a little bit, and then they put him in the Nile River, and the daughter of Paro sees her, just when she wants to go into the mikveh to become a Jew, she has compassion on him. So, is it an overt miracle? No. But Moshe's whole birth came through the hidden hand of God, which is running everything in the background. And that's what Haman didn't realize. He didn't realize that although God will no longer do revealed miracles, he's not going to, when Moshe's there, we split the sea, we do this, we do that, all those amazing miracles, but that stops. So there's no way the Jews are going to be saved unless there's amazing miracles that don't happen anymore. He didn't realize that there's also the month that Moshe is born, and that birth was through hidden miracles. And hidden miracles Hashem still does and always does, and that's how Haman was destroyed with the hidden miracles.